So we've come to the end of the conference, and everybody's tired, and we thank you for staying to listen to the gospel, and I'll be as short as possible at the end of the day. Now, our brother has already announced that in the will of the Lord here on Tuesday and Wednesday, there'll be meeting for the gospel if you're an unbeliever, and for the believers, there'll be ministry to help us along the way. Now, if you can invite anybody, we'll be happy to see them. 7 o'clock, and we'll preach to the time. I have two verses tonight at the close of this conference to read with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. We're going to read verses 3 and 4, and that will conclude our reading. Here's what Paul said to these Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now notice there's a comma. That's the first statement. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Semicolon. Another statement. Verse 4. And that he was buried. Comma. Number 3 statement. And that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Fourth statement. Now the Lord will bless what our brother has told you and the Holy Bible we have read from. One day, into a city called Corinth, arrived 3 preachers. Paul, Silas, and Timothy. God told Paul, there are a lot of people in this city need to hear the gospel, and some will respond. Those preachers didn't know who they would be. But after it's all over, Paul writes back to them, and he explains to them something about the message of the gospel. Now all you have to do is read the book of the Acts chapter 18 and you get the history of what happened. And all you have to do is read 1st and 2nd Corinthians and you'll find out what kind of people these people were. To these folk that were sinners on the way to eternity that never heard the gospel before, there are 4 statements. I read them to you. He says, I arrived in Corinth, and I delivered unto you what I received from the Lord Jesus. That's the tidings that he proclaimed. How that Christ died for our sins. That's the tree where the Savior died. This will reinforce what our brother Mr. Gibson has told you. And that he was buried. That's the tomb. And on the third day, rose again through resurrection. And that introduced him to the throne. We have a very, very simple message tonight. It's called tidings. And the tidings has 3 points that you and I need to know. Number 1, the tree. Number 2, the tomb. Number 3, the throne. The tidings that he gave. I'll just quote one verse. Here's what Paul preached. the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. But unto us believers who are being saved, it's the power of God. Now imagine these three preachers going in here and talking to people. We have come tonight to do exactly the same thing. And we have come to tell you about the tree. John chapter 19, it says about the Lord Jesus. It's a man around 33 years of age. Jesus, taking to himself the cross, went forth to the place of a skull. Have you ever stopped in your experience and asked yourself, why did the Lord Jesus Christ die on the tree? We heard it last night. Christ died for the ungodly. If you read the record of these people that lived in Corinth, they were dreadful sinners, exceedingly wicked, and they needed to hear about the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you tonight that Kamloops is no different. Vancouver, Winnipeg, wherever you come from, all around us, a tremendous need. And you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ. As our brother has pointed out, you're a sinner on the way to eternity. And you need to hear about the tree. Jesus dying on the tree means the sentence passed from me has descended on his head, and that he has died instead. You know, the first person that talked to me and told me about the tree of the Lord Jesus was my mother. I can remember as a young fellow around 4 years of age with my older brother bending our knees at our bedside in a South American country. She was as weak as a chicken. She lived for 3 years in bed and never saw a doctor in a tropical country. But she had the strength to tell our boys about the Lord Jesus and the one that died on the tree. Friend of mine, we have come tonight to tell you of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mid rending rocks and darkening skies, my Savior bows his head and dies. Do you know why he was there? He was there to deal with the great question of sin. And he paid the price. And he has opened up the way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And he's offering you salvation tonight based on what he has done. It is finished. Yes, indeed. Finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not? That's what Paul preached when he arrived in Corinth for 18 months. And the people received it. Could you receive it tonight? Whatever age group you're in, to just tell God, oh God, I'm a guilty sinner and I'm on my way to hell and I deserve to be there forever. But the Lord Jesus Christ has died in my place and I go free. Now watch. We heard today about a man called Joseph of Arimathea and his friend Nicodemus. Whenever the Lord died on the cross and the work was finished, they took his body down from the tree and they buried it in the sepulchre Let me quote you the Bible verse. See John chapter 19. In the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a sepulcher, a tomb. Those two men and two other women put the precious remains of the Lord Jesus into the tomb. I was at a large funeral recently. There was hundreds at it. As I stood there at the open grave, I thought of the day that the Lord Jesus was buried in his tomb. Four people at his burial. Four. Joseph, Nicodemus, Mary Magdalene, and another Mary. He's the eternal Son of God. The world thought that's it over. Let me just tell you a wee bit about the tomb. The Lord be not come, everybody in this room will go the way of all the earth. And all things being considered, you'll be in a tomb. Death is coming, coming, coming. I think of a young man that used to sit in our Bible class there in Vancouver years ago. I've known him from as a boy. And around this time last Lord's Day, in one of the states of the U.S., as a man of 50 years of age, he moved from time into eternity. When you have time, I preach to him. I'm preaching to somebody here tonight, and if the Lord be not come, friend, you will be the first to go, and you'll be in a tomb. I'd like to ask you tonight, have you made any preparation for that day? Here's the next statement. On the third day, the first day of the week, he rose up from among the dead ones. That's resurrection. And putting all the scriptures together, he passed through the heavens from the eastern slope of Mount Olivet, and he sat down on the throne. He's on the throne tonight. We have come to tell you of an exalted, glorified Savior that's on the throne. Let me expand on that for a minute. When days on earth are past, for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to sit with him in his throne in heaven. Revelation chapter 3. And enjoy his presence forever. I want to tell the unbeliever, if you die your soul without the Lord Jesus, the Bible says you'll be at the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20. To be consigned at last to the lake of fire. See, the gospel is a loving message. It reaches a man's heart. I remember so well when it reached my heart, and I gladly bowed to the claims of Christ. And many of my buddies that sat with me, male and female, long years since, have passed over the boundary line. Some were saved and some were not. This is the gospel that we proclaim. It surrounds three simple points. The tree, the death of the Lord Jesus. The tomb, the burial of the Christ. The throne, the exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow to him, and every tongue will confess. We're about to disperse. You've heard the gospel another time. I kind of ask you tonight, your soul, wherever you may be, when the last step for you is taken, when you leave British Columbia, Kamloops, or wherever you come from, you leave either saved or an unbeliever. If you leave saved, friend, you'll be in heaven. And I want to tell you from my heart tonight, if you leave the world without Christ, you'll be in hell. People don't want to hear it. There's a lady came to our meetings in another place not too long ago. She said to me, "Stan, I love the nights whenever you talk about heaven." She's an unbeliever. It reached her. I could see the tears running down her face. But she says, "I hate it when you talk about hell." Dear soul, tonight, we give a balanced ministry, a balanced message. That's what the Savior did. That's what Paul did. That's what Silas and Timothy did. We do the same tonight. Two ways before you lie. You have a choice to make tonight. Will any choose the pit of woe? We all must answer, yes or no. It's time to stop. Out of all you have heard today or yesterday, will you think of the three simple points in the gospel? And I'll leave it with you. How that Christ died for our sins. That's the tree. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. He was buried. That's the tomb. And the third day he rose again to sit on the throne in heaven tonight. God bless you, friend. We will meet you in heaven when life on earth has passed. We're only into the end of June. And there's a number of people that sat and listened to us in other parts of the world. And they never come back because they were taken into eternity, the two. Maybe you're here tonight and you'll never have another chance. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.